Good evening, Mr. Luther. May I?
Please, help yourself. Everybody else does.
Some say the toast came about by a man who feared that his drink had been poisoned, but he was a quick-witted man. He joyfully clanked his mug with the mugs of his mates, sloshing his lethal beverage into everyone's drink with cheer. A simple tap, then, must be a sign of trust.
I'm not really thirsty.
I thought we had an agreement. You would inform me of the virus's progress, but I seem to be shockingly cut out of the loop.
A fact you've probably known for weeks. Come on, you must have assumed I wouldn't inherently believe your CIA bluff.
And that's why I chose you. For your insatiable distrust and your propensity for covering all the bases.
I'm sure you didn't waltz in here thinking I'd just roll over.
No, not you. Not without a bone.
I'll take the truth. I assure you the vaccine is processed and ready, but I'd be foolish to hand it over to someone whose agenda is still up for grabs.
Lex, it's a vaccine. What threat could it possibly pose?
Now that's a question I've been asking myself for weeks. I'm hoping this will help me get a few answers.
Close, but I'm not one of them. I was only made by them. Somebody save me indeed. Hello and welcome to Farm to Fable, a Smallville Rewatch fancast. I am your forever host, Michael, and I'm also the host of the RPG Academy podcast, where I talk mostly about role-playing games, but all tabletop gaming in general. I also organize a three-day gaming convention held in Dayton, Ohio each November. Before we get started, please be advised that Farm to Fable may include adult language and reference adult behavior. Please consider us PG-13 in regards to content acceptability for your young ones. Also, this is your spoiler warning. While we will focus on each episode week to week, our discussions may and likely will reference the entire series run and the wider Superman mythos. You can email our show at smallvillefancast@gmail.com with any comments, concerns, or questions. Please follow us on Twitter at Farm2Fable. And join our Facebook group page at Smallville Farm to Fable. With all of that out of the way, let's meet today's co-host.
Hi, I'm Trish. I am a comic artist and a regular person.
In that order?
Yeah. I watched Smallville when it was on TV back in the good old days. So it's fun to rewatch it and kind of dissect it in this context.
All right. Well, I'm very excited to have you back with us. It's been a little while, but you're always welcome. And we're going to jump into the show as we always do with our pass the torch question. And so last week, Jaden wanted me to ask, if you were some rich scumbag who felt indebted to Clark for some reason, which seems to happen a lot, how would you try to repay him?
This is a really tough question because I feel like as a rich scumbag, my number one thing is going to be money, cars, gifts, you know, fancy things. But the problem is, I mean, Clark's not going to go for any of that. He never does. That's just nope. Not him. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I have any original ideas other than all the other rich scumbags that have tried and failed.
Yeah, I think for me, what I would probably try to do is more like an experiences-based thing, like try to get Clark, invite him to do things, go places with him, where maybe Clark doesn't quite realize the amount of money that we're spending until later. So it's like, yeah, you know, that weekend that we took, that was like $30,000. You know, yeah. That was like your entire college trust fund we spent that one day. Because, yeah, if you give Clark material goods, he's going to reject them.
Sure.
But I think he could be lulled into sort of a false sense of this isn't really much by how things like an experience might cost. But I think eventually it would still hurt me because I'm a rich scumbag, so I have to have, you know, poor intentions. But I think that might be a way to weasel in. I also thought maybe you could set up some like really deep false, like a charity sort of thing, or not charity, that probably would work, but it was like you know, he won the lottery type of thing.
Yeah.
And then years later find out it was actually you set the whole thing up. It was a fake charity and I paid off your farm and now you're way too in deep to come out of it. But
that's definitely a scumbag move though.
Of course it is.
Yeah, for sure.
All righty. So now it's time to grab a copy of this week's Daily Planet. We're going to check the bylines and see who brought us this episode.
I mean, that's a story that could land you a byline on the front page of the Daily Planet.
So we're here tonight to discuss Season 5, Episode 21, Oracle. The date of original airing was April 27th, 2006. The character Superman was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, and Smallville was created by Alfred Goff and Miles Miller. The writers for this episode would be Neil Sadhu and Daniel Sulzberg, which both have story by credits, and Caroline Dries has a teleplay by credit.
This episode was directed by Whitney Rancic.
Alrighty, so now let's open our Smallville yearbook and see who our notable guest stars are.
Get me a yearbook.
Well, I'm very excited to say that James Marsters is back as Milton Fine.
And we have John Schneider, sort of, back. I think this is the last time we see him until season 10. Alrighty, Trish, so are you now ready to enter the Fortress of Solitude, the repository for all the knowledge in the universe as collected by the Kryptonians, to get a glimpse of where we came from as well as where we may be going?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. If you don't mind, will you read that summary, please?
Clark is stunned to see his father's ghost at the graveyard, but becomes even more confused when Jonathan tells him to kill Lionel.
And that's great and all, but it doesn't tell us what we really need to know. So let's examine an additional crystal or two and ask the important questions.
Preliminary findings suggest that the crystal responds at a molecular level to sonic vibrations. This frequency generator may be the key to telling you what you want to know.
Does this episode feature a vehicle crashed or otherwise destroyed?
No.
Does this episode feature someone falling unconscious for any reason?
Of course it does, yes.
Does this episode feature someone in a hospital bed?
No.
Does this episode feature Clark telling or showing someone besides his forever crush Lana or the destined love of his life, Lois Lane, his powers and abilities?
No.
Does this episode feature Clark telling or showing someone besides his forever crush Lana or the destined love of his life, Lois Lane, his powers and abilities?
Maybe.
Yeah, he does, but everyone already knows, everyone, so it's not like it's knows, a new yeah. person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does this episode feature Clark using his powers irresponsibly?
Debatable.
Does Clark casually break and enter a business or residence?
Absolutely.
Does this episode feature a moment where a character travels a seemingly long way to have a short conversation and then leave?
Yes, definitely.
Does this episode feature a conversation between two people where one person has their back to the other and is weirdly talking over the shoulder?
Yes.
Was the person talking weirdly over their shoulder Lex?
Yes, but there were others. Sorry, we had a lot of that this time.
Yeah. Does this episode feature a particularly thirsty moment for one or more of our characters?
Surprisingly, no.
Does this episode feature a cheeky bit of dialogue that hints at or directly references the wider Superman mythos?
No.
Does this episode feature a moment with a needle drop, wherein a contemporary song perfectly sums up a character's thoughts and or desires?
No.
That's sad. I miss those. And finally, does this episode feature a classic Smallville leap of logic wherein the characters jump to a correct conclusion around who or what is behind some mysterious event or otherwise solves a problem with little to no actual information to base such conclusions?
No.
Which is also surprising. Alrighty, so now that we have a clearer roadmap of where we're going, let's use our X-ray vision and look closely at this week's episode. So in our cold open, Martha, Lois, and Chloe throw Clark a surprise birthday party. Lois has made a cake and given him a thoughtful present. Chloe just forgives a couple IOUs, and Martha gives Clark a card from his father. Clark then goes to the graveyard and is surprised to be visited by an apparition of Jonathan, who then tells him he must kill Lionel Luthor. All right, so cold open, what do you want to talk about?
The cake. The cake is so weird. And then she made two other cakes, apparently. I don't know. It was so lopsided and I don't know, but it's world famous at the same time. It was just funny.
I mean, maybe infamous, you know, yeah. Famous can mean a lot of things. I watch a lot of Great British Bake Off and I'm thinking that maybe it's a rum cake. I'm going to guess Lois probably puts a lot of rum in it. I think the rum might be affecting the lift of the cake. That might be part of the problem why it was so lumpy.
Or maybe Lois is drinking the rum when she's making the cake.
Yeah, there's no rum in the cake. It's just they call it rum cake because she's drinking as she's baking.
Right.
And of course, all the colors of the cake. We got the blue icing. Yes. I think it's actually yellow cake. And then there's like red lettering.
Yeah.
There's also, I think the candles are yellow. So, I mean, we clearly have the Superman color scheme going on the cake. But also, I kind of feel like the present she gives Clark is a very thoughtful present, which seems odd for Lois at this point in time.
I would agree with that. It was a really nice. I mean, honestly, he got the, of course, we haven't talked about the tickets from his father. That was like the greatest gift ever. But, and then Chloe didn't even really get him a gift. She was just like, oh, you already owe me so much. I'll just, you know, we'll call those good.
Right.
But it's like, then Lois gets him this really nice present. Like, they hate each other.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. You know, very sort of thoughtful. Again, the color scheme, it has a red faux leather, like, journal. And then it's you know, is it monogrammed? I won't say mammogram, but that's very different. Monogram.
No, totally different, yeah.
And then it has, like, a blue filigree on the edges. I don't know if that's the right word either, but, you know, but
yeah.
I would love to have one of those. I want someone to buy me one of those.
Yeah, very nice.
So I do want to talk about the tickets, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, you know, again, as someone who's recently lost her father, but we had like a really contentious relationship the last few years, so I didn't get him anything, he didn't give me anything. But the idea that someone that you care about who's recently passed had something they wanted to give you, and then after the fact that you did it, very, very emotional. But I kind of feel like Martha really set Clark up for failure by giving that to him in front of Lois and Chloe. I feel like that should have been a private moment.
Very much agree with that. Yes, I think that was, it just seemed so weird. It was really weird in that moment to be like, oh, here's this amazing thing that you are definitely going to be very emotional about, and here, let me give it to you in front of your two friends.
Right. Yes.
Well, and you're one frenemy.
Yeah. And Martha has to know that Chloe's in love with Clark, and has to know that Clark sure. has this sort of weird relationship with Chloe, that they're super good friends. But I just feel like I would be upset at someone who gave me such an emotional present in mm-hmm. front of people like that. I would not have cared for that at all.
Yeah. Agree.
And I also feel like the next thing we see is Clark at the grave, and he's like laying the tickets on the grave. So I'm assuming that means he's not going. In that case, I would want to go with my mom. Like, I feel like, you know, like that would have been the thing to turn around and say, like, yeah, dad's gone, but why don't we share this moment as a way to grieve him, or, you know, keep him alive? I don't know. It felt manipulative and wrong to me.
Yes. I also did not understand why he was leaving the tickets there. That seemed very weird. Like, yeah, I agree with you. He should have taken his mom. Like, why would he not? It seemed, I don't know. It was nonsense, but
it seemed a little bit weird. But I, yeah. Again, the idea of it, very emotional.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I think I did look up. So I think somewhere in the show, they talk about that canonically Clark's birthday is May 3rd. So I don't know if it's from this episode or from a different episode, but I remember I was reading the trivia somewhere. I couldn't remember exactly where, but it said May 3rd is his birthday. So that's, I mean, he's adopted. He doesn't actually know. Obviously, he's an alien. But so May 3rd is canonically Clark Kent's birthday in the Smallville show.
And what date did this episode air? It was April, right?
Yeah, it was in April.
Yeah.
So I don't know, again, where that came from. If there was something in the show that referenced it, because if it did, right. I kind of missed it. So Clark goes to the graveyard because he's upset and he's emotional. He wants to speak to his dad. And then, holy crap, dad's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was pretty powerful again, getting to see Jonathan again. And I actually think he does his best acting before he says any words, because he truly looks like pained and like he's full of emotion at being there and seeing his son. Now, we know who it really is. If not right away, I think it becomes pretty clear pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Especially on a rewatch when we know right away.
Yeah.
But I thought that part, if we assume that this is fine, acting as Jonathan, I think he does a really good job before he says anything. But the moment he starts talking, it's not Jonathan.
I'm talking about Lionel Luther. What is he doing? He's gonna do something terrible. Tell me, Dad, what am I supposed to do? I'm sorry, Clark. But to save this world, you've got to kill Lionel Luther. Goodbye, son.
Yeah, I thought it was really clear. It surprised me even that Clark believed it so strongly. And like when he, like later when he talks to his mom about it, he's like, oh, I really, you know, why would he want me to kill Lionel? And it's like, really? He wouldn't. He would never.
Right. No, he absolutely wouldn't. I think we're supposed to believe that he's conflicted because he did have an actual visitation with him in a recent episode where, from the other side. So this isn't like the, you know, if Dad just showed up out of nowhere, that'd be weird. But this is like the second time he's seen him. But I actually think, and again, this is just me being kind of silly, but there's a moment in this scene where Jonathan does a little over the shoulder. And I actually think that's the first time that we should be figuring out, oh, this isn't Jonathan, because Jonathan would never do an over the shoulder. That's a power move. He's not a power guy. He's a straight in your eye, hand on your shoulder type of guy.
Yes, agree.
All right. So anything else about the cold open you want to talk about before we move on?
Nope. I think I'm good.
All right. If you don't mind, will you read the first excerpt, please?
Clark shares his vision with Martha, who isn't so sure, but maybe. Lois offers to be an ear to Lana. Clark goes to Chloe for help with the whole gotta kill Lionel mission from Jonathan's ghost. Lionel tries to warn Lex away from working with Fine and has another vision of Kryptonian symbols. Chloe and Clark break into Lionel's office. He has upcoming meetings with reporters and the Pentagon, i.e. the weapon.
The weapon. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, it has to be Clark, right? There's no other possible explanation.
Yeah, I would say this might be a Smallville leap of logic, although it is in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I think that's the part of the thing is we always say that they jump to the correct conclusion.
Correct conclusion. Yeah, this one is way off, but yeah.
All right. So the first act, we start off, I assume it's the next day. And that this is now where Clark is sharing that he had this visitation with Jonathan. And Martha, again, she's like, I don't know. I mean, I see Jonathan all the time when I'm having coffee in the morning, but I can't imagine that he would ever tell you to kill somebody.
Right?
So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, Martha, go with that. Keep rolling there. You're doing good.
Yeah, I think it's just so silly that he's still believing it. I mean, yeah, I know I saw him in another context, but Jonathan seemed so out of character that it just doesn't seem plausible, but he was also grieving too and very emotional over these tickets. And so there was a lot going on, but
there was a lot going on. Wasn't necessarily in the right frame of mind. So anything else about them in the barn before we move on to the Talon?
No, I just I just thought, you know, same thing I said, I feel like, you know, he's making a leap there, but believing it was Jonathan. But anyway.
So we cut then to the Talon where Lana is picking up coffee and Lois just happens to be there, kind of overhears things and realizes that at least one of the coffees has to be for Lex because it's his regular. He's the only person that orders coffee that particular way.
Right.
And I'm wondering, are we supposed to take from this Lois is observant? Because she does remember that. We're supposed to pick up that she's just nosy because she overheard it and then has to butt in and say something about it. Because, you know, obviously they're building a little bit of track that she's going to eventually be this world-renowned reporter who's, you know, has good instincts and can, you know, finds the story. But I'm not sure exactly what we're supposed to take from that particular moment. And I'm confused about this whole thing because then she talks about Lex and there's like, oh, I'm not his intern. Oh, so you're his girlfriend. No, we're not. He's not my boyfriend either.
Yeah, I'm not his girlfriend, but
they are in a relationship. So is she saying they're just like sex buddies or is she trying to deny their relationship? I don't get what that was supposed to say by her saying that we're not in a relationship when they clearly are.
I don't know. That this whole scene I found confusing too. And yes, what? Okay, I mean, I get that Lex is a regular, but that still doesn't explain why Lois would be, she would know exactly what he orders and know that that coffee has to be for him. I mean, I don't know if it was just like a lazy writer's way of just like making this all fit, but it seemed weird.
It did. It seemed weird. And I've said many times before, I don't think the show has done Kristen a lot of favors because they often end acts or end scenes with the camera just on her face and she's trying to act with her face and it goes on way too long and it looks weird. We kind of get the same thing here where Lois says, you know, I'm an unbiased ear. If you ever want to talk, you can. And then we get this sort of like, you know, 2.5 seconds of face acting from Kristen. And we learn later that she took her up on it. I did not take what her face said to me as, okay, let's have this conversation.
No, same. When she tells Lex later, oh, I was talking to Lana for 3 hours or Lois for 3 hours and the coffee got cold. I was like, really?
Really? Yeah. I didn't, like, I didn't read your face as, yeah, I almost thought she was offended or something.
Yeah.
But I also I like Lois a lot. I think Erica as an actress and Lois as a character has really breathed some new air into the show starting the fourth season. Like, I just like the energy she brings. Mm-hmm. But at no point have I ever felt that her strength lies in listening. Like, actively, we've seen many times where she doesn't listen to people. She runs roughshod over them. She's very straightforward. So maybe they want her to be this to Lana here, but that does not fit her character mm-hmm. at all. Maybe it fits her character in thinking that she's a good listener.
Sure.
But then when Lois or when Lana confirms that she was, it's just, like I said, it seems like it's kind of a lazy writer thing. They just wanted these characters to be together for a little while for some reason.
Yeah, I agree. And she seems like she's in general kind of flaky. So she's not someone you'd want to open up to and tell. I wouldn't expect her to keep anything secret. I mean, she's just not the person I'd go to. So it seems just like such a weird.
It does. I almost wonder if there was like, and again, I don't know, but I almost wonder if there was another scene that involved Lana that got cut. And so they needed a reason they retro engineered this reason for her not to be around till she comes back. Cause that whole, I've been with Lois for 3 hours mm-hmm. could be a very convenient way for why I wasn't in the scene that's no longer here or something.
Yeah, maybe.
It's hard to say. I don't know.
It
seems weird.
Yeah, it was a strange situation.
So then we cut over to the Daily Planet where Clark and Chloe are talking about the whole situation. And I will give them credit because they appear to be whispering. I still think they need to not talk so much in the open bullpen, but at least they're whispering now, which they don't always do.
Right.
And we kind of get a Chloe obligatory literature reference where she talks about the ghost and Hamlet. And she's like, hand me a cape and call me Horatio.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate that one.
The thing that really struck me about this scene was when she says, is there anything we could find that would make Clark Kent kill someone? Like, that was the big.
Yep.
And that's goes right back to like, probably not. And that's why it doesn't make sense that Jonathan would have said this to you.
Yeah, I agree. That was the line I pulled out as well. That's like, yeah. I mean, I think it's supposed to be the big line, you know, is there anything that we could find? And, you know, I think that speaks to the Superman we want, the aspirational figure that is going to find a way, no matter the odds, to not kill someone and still win. So I did like that a whole lot. It's just, again, there seems a lot of manipulation to get us to that point because it should have been like, no, there's not. So therefore the drama of the Jonathan stuff is gone.
Right.
We have to question if there is. And I just think most of us, even in 2006, watching it in real time, we're probably like, no, there's not. So mm-hmm. why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
And I'll just bring it up here because it doesn't make sense. Might as well talk about it here. I don't understand any of this, because it seems pretty clear that the reason that Fine wants Clark to kill Lionel is because Fine can't touch him, that just making contact, because Lionel is the vessel for Jor-El, because he touches him later and he like vanishes. But he could still throw things at him. He could hit him with laser vision from a mile away. He could get in a tractor trailer and run him down on the interstate. There's lots of ways you could kill Lionel without physically touching him with your hands.
So many ways. And he could pretend to be Clark and get Lionel to trust him. And then, you know, like, if it's an access issue, like, it doesn't make sense to try to get Clark to do it for him. There's no reason for it. This is all a convoluted plot to try to
that does not hold up to scrutiny at all.
Right. Yeah. It honestly would make more sense for him to try to get Martha, like, because Martha could get close to Lionel easily. So why not pretend to be Martha and then, or pretend to be Clark? He can pretend to be anybody he wants.
there's so many. He could pretend to be the secretary.
Yes.
Or the administrative assistant and just put poison in his coffee.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many ways. If you're trying to kill Lionel, just kill it. There's so many. You can just get a gun, get 2 feet from him, shoot him. He's dead. Yeah. Like, it, it's very convoluted and it just doesn't hold up to scrutiny at all. I would have liked something more to this. Like, why did he think this would work? And then why does he go to Martha later as Jonathan, just like kind of punish her a little bit? Like, he's just a sadist in some ways, just relishing in causing this drama in their lives.
Yeah.
But it ultimately fails because it's a dumb plan for a super smart robot. He's dumb.
Yeah. It's not the greatest.
It's not the greatest. So then we cut over to the mansion where we see the helicopter outside. Lionel is popping some pills. And we've seen this the last couple episodes he's in. I think there's something going on with his body or his mental state because him being this oracle and vessel for Jor-El is taking its toll. But we get this nice scene between Lex and Lionel where Lionel's trying to say, hey, you can't trust Fine. Stop working with him. And again, Lionel knows pretty much everything there is to know about Fine. Like, he's a little bit confused, but he knows a lot more than Lex.
Right.
Maybe this is the time where you just say, he's an alien and he's trying to trick you. Because Lex is really close to that. Like, he's almost there anyways. I don't feel like that would have hurt anything. It just feels like everybody's trying to not say the absolute truth, and all it does is make things harder on everybody.
Well, but listen, that's what the show is all about. Keeping secrets and hiding the truth from everyone until it's way too late. But yeah, I think, Lex can't trust Lionel because why would he? For once, Lionel's trying to give him some real solid advice. But of course, how can Lex know that?
Exactly. Well, that's true. When you've built up nothing but distrust, it's like the crying wolf situation. We've cried wolf all this time. The one time you want to try to be honest, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
But Lex is somewhat impressed with Lionel's intel. He seems to know a lot more about this project he has with Fine than he would have thought, but he still doesn't believe him. He goes off to have the board meeting or whatever. And then we get another moment where Lionel's sort of overwhelmed by this whatever he's getting, and he has to write some symbols. And I wanted to ask, do you think Jonathan Glover just had fun? Because he like does this sort of weird, almost like puppeteer thing, and he looks up and he's like shaking. And I just think as an actor, that would either be so much fun or humiliating. I don't think there's a lot of middle ground there.
I feel like for John Glover, this is a blast. Because he's just, I mean, he eats it up. I mean, look at all the things that Lionel has gone through. He's faked being blind. He's been in prison. I mean, he has got to just be eating it up, or he would have left the show a long time ago, right?
That was a really good paycheck, but I'm so glad he stuck around because I love him as an actor. He's so much fun.
Oh, he's for the sure show my would, favorite, yeah.
Yeah, without him, the show would not be nearly as good.
Yes.
So we then cut to Clark and Chloe, who are trying to break into Lionel's office. And Clark's about to just super punch the door down. And fortunately, Chloe's there, and she offers some techno-babble explanation as to why he doesn't need to do this. And then we get the joke, I need a nightlife. Which, again, I think is a subtle hint that, hey, big boy, she's still interested in you.
Yeah.
And I do like, too, she's like, I can't just exactly search for a file called My Evil Scheme. But as they... you go through his office, they rifle through, they eventually get into his Outlook calendar or whatever the equivalent would be. And he has upcoming meetings with both an investigative reporter from the Inquisitor, which is like the tabloid in this world. It's not the Daily Planet. It's the, you know, the Weekly World News sort of thing.
Sure.
And as well as the Pentagon, R.E., the weapon. And as you kind of alluded, they jump to the wrong conclusion, assuming that Clark is the weapon. And they think, well, maybe Lionel has found a way to control me, which that really isn't too much of a stretch because between Silver K and Red K, there are people, and even the hypnosis, there's been ways people have gotten Clark to do things. So maybe it's still a leap in the wrong direction, but it's maybe not a super leap. It's more of just like a big leap.
Sure. Sure. I did find it interesting when they kind of talk about, why wouldn't he tell Lex? He must have told Lex by now. And Clark's like, no, he wouldn't, because knowledge is power and he would never give up that much power. And I thought, wow, Clark really gets Lionel.
Yes. That's a pretty astute observation for a big dummy like Clark, who I love him, but sometimes he's really dumb. That's pretty on target.
Yeah. I really just thought, oh, wow, Clark gets it.
You also have to question why Chloe and Clark would not wear masks, or, you know, is it, again, we've established multiple times that there are no cameras in Lionel's office, but there's cameras in the building. There's probably cameras in the hallway. Like, come on, put on masks. I get you don't want to cover up the face when you look like Tom Welling, but
yeah,
it just, come on, wear a mask.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they're so, the casual B&E is just so, you know, like old hand to them that they just don't even think about it. They've never gotten caught yet, so.
That's true. Like, the sheriff is never a problem for them anymore. I guess that was season two. That was last year.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else in Act One before we move on?
I don't think so.
All right. So we'll go into our second act. So Lana has been chatting with Lois. Lex offers her the chance to go all in, and she takes it. So he then brings her to the secret lab where all of his scientists have taken the world's most dangerous viruses and created a universal vaccine. Lex believes Fine is an alien. Lana tells him about the weakness to the aliens that Lionel told her. And Martha is also visited by Jonathan's spirit, who we then learn is in fact Fine. All right, so there's a lot going on in this act here. I'll let you go first. What do you want to talk about here? And it can be in order, or it can jump around, whatever you feel like is the most important or most interesting thing to you.
Okay, let's start with Lex and Lana.
Okay.
They are just, they're so weird together. Like, I feel like there's no chemistry. It's not believable to me at all. I just don't see them together whatsoever. And of course, Lana's whole thing is honesty. Clark never told me the truth about anything, and I was always in the dark, and now I need honesty. And then what does he do? He says, okay, it's finally time for me to tell you the truth, which basically means I've been the rest of the time when I promised I wasn't going to.
Yes.
But now I'm going to fess up to everything.
Yes. At that moment, the fact that Lana didn't slap him and leave drove me bananas, because his entire case for why they should be together, he has said over and over again, is I'm the anti-Clark. He doesn't say it that way. Basically, I'm telling you everything. I trust you completely. Everything above board. And then he says here, okay, by the way, I have been lying to you, but now I'm going to tell you the truth. That should have destroyed everything they had, because everything they had was built on the fact that he was telling her everything before.
Yes. Yes. I have a big problem with that. It's so implausible. It's very upsetting.
I completely agree. I was so frustrated by that. Like, I get him like trying to weigh it as new information that he hasn't shared yet, but even that is iffy with the whole their relationship built on this open and honesty. But for him just to confess that I have not been honest with you till now, but now I'm going to be, should have been a deal breaker, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it was very upsetting to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like she should have dumped him immediately, but you know, here we are. Instead, she was like, let's go to the lab.
Let's go to the lab. But she doesn't know what she's going there for.
Yeah.
This is another
100%
one of those.
Too. That's, I loved that. You're 100, all in.
100%. All in 100%. Well, there's another small little trope that actually comes up again this episode, that we don't have conversations while traveling that we should have had.
Sure.
Because when they show up at the lab, she still has the report, and apparently she's yet to open it. Like, she opens it for the first time, because then she's like, viruses? Like, the whole ride over there, she could have been looking at the report, but she didn't, because she wanted to be on camera when they had the conversation. But it just seems such a weird thing for her to wait till they get there, then to open the thing, and then to get the thing about the viruses. And then, you know, it's all exposition that, you know, you've got the world's most dangerous viruses, but we could make a super vaccine, which I think is cool. Living in the world we live in now, we know that's bullshit.
Yeah,
but
of course.
It's a nice fantasy.
Sure. Sounds good. So the other thing is the fake Jonathan coming to talk to Martha, also very upsetting, because very emotional. That was a tough scene to watch, because you could tell, I mean, she's an amazing actress. She was very upset by the whole thing. But then just again, it was like, how is Martha falling for this? Because he is so not Jonathan. But it was a crazy scene.
How long have you had feelings for Lionel Luther?
It's not like that.
I want you to be happy, sweetheart. I've always just wanted you to be happy, but not with him.
Jonathan. You know you're the only man I've ever loved. Are you talking about Lionel? What is it? What is he doing?
He's going to drown you all in your own blood. Just like he did me.
Like he did you? What?
Martha, I'm sorry, but you've got to tell Clark there is no other choice. Lionel Luther has to die.
Yeah, again, well done. All the actors performed their roles well. But again, I don't believe Martha would buy this. Maybe fine in that state can also exude like pheromones, and maybe smell of Jonathan was helping enhance the senses. But it felt to me like this was just cruel. I don't know how this really helped his plan. I guess if he gets Martha on board and she's also saying Lionel needs to die, that would help propel Clark. But that's not what happens here. Like, I think when they talk about it again, she's not still convinced. She's just confused. So it came across to me as just cruel. Like, he just wanted to punish Martha for some reason.
Well, I mean, I guess he was trying to like up the stakes, because he does tell her the whole thing about like, he'll drown you in blood like he did me, like as if, you know, Lionel had something to do with his death. So maybe that, you know, like he was trying to like just raise the stakes so that she would tell Clark, and then Clark would be extra mad and extra want to kill Lionel. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I guess it does almost work, because we get that confrontation, but I don't know. It feels weird. Maybe that is the thing where I watch the episodes too many times and I know how it ends and I'm losing the emotion in the moment, but it just feels odd. And very TV when we see Brainiac take the time standing in front of a window. Why can't Martha see him?
Right.
And then he changes into fine so that we know that it's not Jonathan, in case we were confused. Before he zooms away, he could have just zoomed away. Like, there's no need for that moment other than for us, the audience.
Yeah, he could have just left.
He could have just left, yeah. All right. Anything else before we move on to the third act?
I don't think so.
All right. If you will, read that summary, please.
Martha and Clark continue to believe Jonathan is Jonathan and Lionel is a danger. Fine goes to Lex to get back in the loop, and while Lex believes he has the upper hand, he is woefully mistaken. Clark and Lionel have it out in the barn, but at the last second, Clark realizes the truth and turns on Jonathan, who could have killed Clark, but says he still needs him before Lionel, in his vessel state, destroys this instance of Fine.
So we pick right back up with now Martha sharing her story to Clark about the Jonathan visit. And they're just all in agreement. This must be what's going on. Lionel's going to use me as a weapon. He's found a way to control me. Lionel's been manipulating us all from the beginning. And then the further that Lionel might have had something to do with Jonathan's death. So I don't know. Maybe Fine is super smart, because it seems to be working.
Yeah.
But it seems a little bit unnecessary when he could just like shoot him.
Yes. Yes. Again, many ways he could do this.
So at the mansion, Lex is participating in an AOL commercial for some reason.
Yeah, I loved that.
When Fine stops by, this is the cold open scene we did. So we already did kind of this dialogue, which was one of my favorite interactions. I absolutely loved both sides of this.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, Michael Rosenbaum as Lex, this sort of casual, he feels like he has the upper hand the entire time. He's just so arrogant and like, I'm not really thirsty. And when he goes to get the kryptonite, just, it's beautiful. And then ultimately, this is when Fine reveals himself not to be a Kryptonian, but to have been constructed by Kryptonians. So we've already done all that dialogue, but is there anything about it you want to talk about?
No, I thought it was great. It was a really exciting scene, especially the big reveal, you know, to Lex that, you know, Brainiac is actually, you know, whatever he is. Is he a robot, I guess? Some sort of construct. But with his like crazy knife hand and all that stuff, it's really cool.
It's like Terminator 2 style sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The line that gets me out of all of this, and I love the acting specifically, but the line where...
Well, that's why I chose you. For your insatiable distrust.
And those are two words that don't think go together logically, But for Lex specifically, it works so well.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yes. Whoever wrote that line, genius.
Yes.
Your insatiable distrust. Oh, yeah. My God. I want that on a tattoo because that's just such a great line.
It is a great line. And it's so Lex.
I did wonder, though, I call this out here in my notes, that when Lex opens up the metal box and the kryptonite kind of glows. So we have seen in the show that this is something that actually happens. Sure. When Clark or another Kryptonian is around kryptonite, it does start to glow. So it appears that that is something the characters should also see. And if this is true, when Lex turns it around, he sees that it glows, that should be confirmation. Because I know there have been times that he's been around Clark and kryptonite has glowed. And if he was ever wondering, like, wow, that was weird, it should have been, like, obvious at this point, oh, Clark is either a Kryptonian or he's also in some way connected to them, or at least in the future when it happens again, and I'm sure it does.
Of like, course.
Why does no one comment on it?
Well, I mean, it could be that Lex is always unconscious.
There was a lot of brain damage.
Yeah, everybody loses consciousness a lot. So maybe he never actually saw any kryptonite glow when Clark was around because he lost consciousness. It's hard to say, but yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know, even like way back in the old days, Lana's necklace would kind of like glow. Like, how has no one figured this out and put this together yet? I mean, there's been kryptonite is glowing all over town. Like, come on.
It should be like a as he's driving through town, all the kryptonite in the soil should just light up in a path behind him.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we cut back to the Daily Planet again. Clark is there and Chloe's like, all right, I don't want you to go murder anybody, but I'm going to give you some additional evidence to help you decide to kill Lionel. And then she shares the phone records that Jonathan had, that Lionel was calling him constantly, also called him on the night of his death. And he called him from a cell tower less than a mile away, which kind of confirms what Martha has said that Jonathan shared, that Lionel had something to do with his death. And then we immediately cut to the barn and Lionel's there. So we cut the part out, but I think we're to assume that Clark called him and said, hey, I need to talk to you. Meet me at the barn. And I think there's like a metaphor here. Like when Lionel walks in, Clark is shadowed. He's like shrouded in darkness.
Oh, for sure.
And he doesn't kill Lionel, but it's close. Like he's thinking about it. He throws him in a way that had he actually thrown the man that is Lionel, he probably would be dead from trauma.
He's big mad. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's ready to do it. And then Fine, as Jonathan shows up, and it's almost like too much. Like, I feel like Fine could have just stayed silent and it might have worked out for him.
Your father would never make you a murderer, Clark.
And I think that is the words that finally break through. And this is another part where I think Clark may have used his powers irresponsibly because he starts to, eye laser Lionel, but the last second he turns and hits Jonathan with it. And sure, we don't think it's Jonathan, but if it's just a regular meteor-infected shapeshifter, you just murdered that person.
Yeah, he doesn't know who it is, true. But I guess you could say he thinks it's a ghost. Does he think it's a ghost? I mean, I don't know. It's not clear, I guess, what he thinks, but he knows it's not Jonathan.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I find it so interesting that in the same moment he's almost ready to kill Lionel, he also believes him and takes his word over the fake Jonathan. Mm-hmm. It's like such a turn because he's, he's so set on not believing anything Lionel says.
Yeah, and there's been some track late here in a couple different episodes over this season. We've gotten verbiage, because I don't know if it's actually in the story or not, but we've had characters say multiple times that Jonathan was always a calming factor for Clark, that there were times where Clark wanted to go too far and possibly hurt somebody, but Jonathan was always that voice of reason that kept him from doing it. And there was another episode, the Vengeance episode, where the Batman / Angel Vengeance character is trying to get him to kill people. And that, is brought up there. And I think that's what is leading to that led to this episode where you have Lionel saying Jonathan would never make you a murderer. You have Jonathan saying, kill this son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that's Clark going, okay, you're right. This is not Jonathan. There's something else going on. There has been this whole thing about Lionel as a surrogate father.
Right.
He's the vessel for Jor-El, who is Clark's biological father.
And, you know, earlier when him and Martha were starting to get friendly, Clark's like, you're not my dad. You're never going to replace my dad.
Right.
He does kind of replace Jonathan. Like in this moment, he does become the surrogate father.
For sure.
And I don't know how I feel about that because I love Jonathan Glover, but I hate Lionel Luther.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I love Lionel Luther.
I mean, he's so despicable.
He's so interesting.
True. Very true. But here's the thing where we get the moment where fake Jonathan throws a tractor at Clark.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, one simple thing, you couldn't kill Lionel Luther, which all this to me is saying, because he's like, Lionel becomes the vessel and he's standing there with his glowy eyes. And Fine seems like he can't move. He's like, don't touch me, don't touch me. But he doesn't zoom away or run away. So I feel like there's something else happening there. But again, he could have threw the tractor at Lionel.
Yeah.
Lionel's dead. Problem solved, right? But there's this moment where Fine, as Jonathan gets behind Clark and he's got him in this sort of like chokehold, and he's like, I could snap your neck like a twig.
Yeah.
And we're a good 4 years out from Man of Steel, but I could not help but think about that movie and spoilers for the end of that movie in that moment.
I don't think I saw that movie.
You're not missing much other than a terrible Man of Steel depiction. Oh, I hate that movie. It's terrible.
That's probably why I didn't see it, because my husband was like, don't watch it. It's no good.
Yeah, it's no good. but if do you mind if I spoil it just to give you the context?
Sure.
So that movie ends with Clark/Kal-El killing Zod, like taking Zod's life. He has Zod in a very similar kind of chokehold, and Zod is actively using his laser vision, and he's trying to slowly turn his head towards a bunch of innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the only option, at least the only one he could see at that moment, is he snapped his neck to kill Zod. So Clark took a life, and that was like the big, so the end there, and that's like what he had to deal with, you know, was it the right thing to do, blah, blah, blah. I disagree, but whatever. But so it just, I could not see that scene and not think in my head, Man of Steel, but obviously the other way around, because this was 4 years before. But I don't know, maybe Zack Snyder watched this episode and was like, yeah, he should kill him, and then he wrote the movie.
Maybe. You never know.
But of course, Lionel comes to with no memory of what just happened with the whole thing, because he can't activate those powers. All right. So anything else in the third act before we move on?
I don't think so. That one was juicy, though.
Oh, yeah. There's a good stuff. And again, I feel like I'm nitpicking a little bit because there is a lot about this episode that doesn't make sense. But once again, the acting in the show is top notch. Like all the actors crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the writing here, mostly more the plotting, because I think some of the lines like insatiable dishonesty is amazing.
Yeah.
But just like what's actually happening doesn't always make sense.
True.
Okay. So in our fourth act, Clark and Lionel are trying to figure out what the hell's going on. They take Lionel's Kryptonian writings to Chloe to help decipher them. Chloe thinks Lana might know where the lab is. Clark goes through her things, but manages to get her to trust him. Fine mixes something with a super vaccine and then injects it into Lex before zooming off just before Clark arrives. So I will say, right off the bat, I was really confused about this multiple times, why they were going to Chloe to get the Kryptonian deciphered, because Clark speaks Kryptonian now, but I guess that this is more like it's a cipher. It's just nonsense words, and that's why she was helping to like look for the patterns, because he can read the words when she says, here's the symbol. He's like, oh yeah, Zod's coming. So he can read Kryptonian, but he couldn't decipher the mad ramblings of Lionel's chicken scratching.
Yeah, I was really confused about this too, because I thought, I don't understand why Clark can't just read it, but I think you're right. It's like a code, but still, I don't know. She was like photocopying the pages and she was going to somehow put it together and figure out like a pattern. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she's using ChatGPT or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't make sense, but
yeah,
it was confusing.
I did like Chloe's line. Did hell freeze over? No one tell me when Lionel and Clark come in best buddies again.
Yes. Yep. I loved it.
And then Lionel's like, maybe we should go to the fortress. And Clark's like, yeah, slow down there. No, that's not happening.
Yeah, no, we're not going there.
Yeah.
And Lionel does say that he doesn't want it. He wants to keep it from Lex, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't tell Lex any of this, right?
Yeah, none of this. Lex needs to know none of this. And they both kind of question, like, why is Fine exposing himself now? And I think they're just worried that he's so far, and this is his end game, and he's worried that they could interfere, but yeah. So they don't know where this lab is. Lionel knows it exists, but he can't find it, and this is Chloe's like, I think we know someone who does. And then we cut to Clark rummaging through Lana's stuff.
Now, casual B&E again.
Casual B&E again. Which definitely super creeper.
Yeah.
But also, this means that Lana has been keeping these classified documents of top secret information, not just classified like by the government, but, you know, proof of actual alien existence in her dorm room in not a locked condition with Chloe as her roommate.
Who's a reporter at the Daily Planet.
An investigative reporter who's also just nosy. And very it's nosy. Just ladder. I mean, again, we don't know what all Clark did. Maybe he had to like punch through the floorboards and it was hidden in a safe. We didn't see that part. But it looks like she just casually has images of an actual spaceship just stuck in one of her Leafly's notebooks in her backpack.
Yeah, just laying on the dresser there. Yeah.
Yeah, just whatever. And again, Clark has super speed. He could have not got caught. As soon as he heard the door open, he could have disappeared. He absolutely could have found a way to get away there. So he wanted to kind of get caught. But if you're going to go to Lana asking for help, then you don't show up. Let her show up while you're holding her stuff. That
and while
everything
you're
about that's
in her
bad.
Room, you're yes. already in her dorm room. Like, no, rethink your plan.
So I ultimately, though, Clark does convince Lana to tell him where this super secret lab is that she just found out about. I don't know if you've been watching the whole season. I don't know how much you remember about the other episodes and where they are right now in their relationship. But do you buy at any time that Lana would have told him?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. For one thing, she just found out all of this and she just went through this thing with Lex where she's like, I'm 100% all in. Like, this is it. I'm committing to everything. And then she just spills her guts at the first first opportunity. And yeah. To Clark, no less. Like, that's the last person I would think she would tell.
And she's not been watching the episode. She doesn't know all this other stuff that's happening. So why does Clark need to know? He's not an agent. He's not a reporter. He's as far as she knows, a farm boy.
Her so ex-boyfriend who is broke into her room.
There's no reason at all for Lana to say, you're the one person I'm going to break this trust I have with Lex over. Like, what does she think he's going to do? She doesn't know that Lex is currently there about to be murdered or infected or whatever the heck has happened. Like, none of that makes any sense for Lana to actually tell him. It literally makes zero sense.
No. I mean, the only thing that Clark has to say is like, oh, Lex is in trouble and I can help him. I mean, but I don't know. Maybe Lana would believe that, though, because he always does get everyone out of trouble, right?
True, but I don't know, but still,
it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. I think Chloe would have been a better choice. One, it's her dorm room too, so she could have been like, "Hey, I found this," or whatever. Like, she could have made it seem much more innocent with her there and saying, "You know, I'm looking at this story. I've got this information that Lex is this fine person is actually an agent for the right." Like, you could make up a story
for sure
to make it seem like Lex is in danger. We have to fix it. But to just say Lex is in danger, you have to tell Clark, farm boy Kent, nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Yeah, I can't believe she falls for it, but.
But luckily, well, I would say luckily, but actually nothing changes because we cut to the lab. Fine is there with Lex. We find out that he never intended to mass produce the vaccine or the viruses, that this was all like he did exactly what Lex, like what he wanted. Lex did exactly what Fine wanted. He made the super vaccine. Which, again, that's a long con to make sure that you think that's where it's going to go.
Yes. He loves the long con.
Yes. Then he mixes something with it. I don't remember from future episode. Is this Kryptonian blood? Is this Brainiac juice? Do we know what he added to it?
I don't know. I don't remember either. I was shocked at the end when Lex has, like, the nanite healing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, what happened?
So I'm guessing Brainiac juice is what he puts in there. And then he stabs Lex, basically, you know, giving him the inoculation, which is like a super vaccine mixed with Kryptonian Brainiac goo. And then this causes Lex to fall unconscious. So this is our first unconscious person for the episode. And then Fine, like, punches the electric grid. I guess this fries all the other vaccine and destroys them. And then zooms away. Clark zooms in, looks around, then just leaves, doesn't check on Lex, just leaves. But then Lex kind of wakes up, and my question is, are we supposed to think that he saw something? Because otherwise, why did he wake up? Like, because he wakes up right as Clark zooms away. So I was like, are we supposed to think that he saw like a red blur, or did he see Clark? Like, I was really confused by this whole situation because Clark didn't check on him. He just left. So it's not like he left after he woke up. It was the other way around. He left as he was. I'm really confused by that.
Well, maybe he was just waking up so that we as the audience can see that, okay, he's not dead. Like, right. Whatever, well, true, that yeah. was, he's alive. But so are we, I guess I'm confused about this whole thing. So was Fine's whole end game that he get one of these vaccines so that he could inject only Lex and that's it?
Yes, because in next episode, we find out the whole plan was that Lex is going to become Zod's vessel, just like Lionel is Jor-El's okay. vessel. So he wanted to make him impervious to disease, super regeneration powers before Zod's consciousness took over his body.
Okay, got it. Because I was like, is that really his whole plan was just to inject Lex with this? And obviously, there was an end game, but I didn't understand what it was. Okay, that makes right. more sense. But yeah, I do think he wakes up at the end. I don't think he saw any, he may have though, you know, because he always thinks he saw something or whatever, but I think it was just so that, you know, he's like not dead.
I guess that's what it was. Cause it yeah. didn't accomplish anything else.
Yeah. Oh, I will say that I find it interesting that Lana is hanging out with Lois again. Oh. Cause Lois does come in with her into the dorm room where Clark's already there going through her stuff.
If you don't mind, will you read the fifth excerpt, please?
Lex is healthier than ever. Clark and Lex pose each other a question. Lionel comes clean to Martha. Lex cuts his thumb, but he has super healing, which he doesn't tell Lana about. Clark gets more cake.
So if we had any worry about what this super disease vaccine was, we immediately get a scene with the doctor going, I don't know what happened to you, but you're healthier than ever. And Clark actually comes by. He seems like he's concerned about Lex, but this turns dark pretty quickly. We also get some very bad exposition where Lex is like, I guess Lionel told you everything, blah, blah, blah. But we get the whole, were you just waiting the whole time to swoop in? And Lex is like, this whole time, were you just waiting to break her heart and walk away? Again, this episode I don't think is well plotted, but I think some of the writing is actually really well. And the scene's very good for both of them. They're kind of airing out their frustrations. They both kind of have a point. And ultimately Clark can't even respond. Like he doesn't have a good answer. He just leaves because he's frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, as he should, because Clark doesn't have a leg to stand on here. I mean, he's the one that was rifling through Lana's things when he knows she's dating Lex. And, you know, he doesn't belong to her. So,
no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Lex was Clark's whole thing with, oh, were you just waiting for me to step aside? I mean, that was just uncalled for because I don't think anybody thinks that, right?
No. And, you know, as Lana said the last episode, they're not together because Clark chose to break up with her. Now, whatever his reason, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he chose to walk away and not tell her the truth, which hurt her.
Yeah.
You don't get to then control what happens. You hurt someone and they go to someone else for comfort and find a relationship. Too bad. You shouldn't have done what you did then.
Yes. But yeah, I do think it's a really good scene.
So then we cut to later, I think at the mansion. I don't know if there's the Lionel Thup comes first. Yeah. So we get a scene with Lionel who comes to the farm and he basically comes to make a confession that he admits, yes, I was there the night Jonathan died. He kind of explains that he was so angry. He didn't let him explain what was going on, but he says, you know, I hope that in time, you'll be able to forgive me and you'll know that at least I was honest with you. So again, it's kind of this weird, I talk about this sometimes, the echoes in the show where, you know, Lionel has been trying to get into Martha's good graces, but he did it through lying and deception, but he did it for a good reason. He knew Clark's secret. He knows Clark's in danger. He's trying to protect Clark and getting into their lives seemed like the best way for him to do that. But he didn't just say, I know Clark's secret. I want to help protect you. He manipulated things. He set up a fake bribery scheme, blackmail scheme, so they could get involved. So here he's finally coming clean, hoping that we can be honest. And that's the same thing Lex said he was doing with Lana. But in the next scene, we're going to see that he's still not being honest with her, because when he cuts his finger, he doesn't tell her what happened. So sure, it's like this weird sort of echo mirror to each other. But it does seem like Lex has not learned any lessons where maybe Lionel has.
Oh, yeah. I think Lionel is just such an interesting character, because he really does get to, as Lionel Luther, Jonathan Glover gets to do it all. He's the good guy. He's the bad guy. He's the crazy guy. He's everything. And I think he's genuinely trying to do the right thing finally. And Lex, of course, I think Lex is trying, but he's not capable of it.
No, he's absolutely, I mean, he is so damaged by the way he was, and which ultimately is Lionel's fault. Like,
sure,
we're going to blame Lex. Lex is not blameless, but it would be irresponsible to not at least acknowledge that the reason Lex is the way he is because the way he was raised by Lionel.
Sure.
But emotionally, we get this sort of switcheroo where we now care about Lionel. We want him to do well. He's now kind of on the good guy side, Yeah. So we want to see him okay, but he's responsible for a lot of what Lex does, and yet we don't really, like, as audience, at least I don't see it that way most of the time. I'm like, Lex bad, Lionel good, but it's a lot dirtier than that.
Oh, for sure it is. Yeah, that's what makes both of them such interesting characters, though.
Absolutely. So we do get the scene with Lana and Lex. She apologizes for getting Clark involved, because again, from their point of view, Lana broke Lex's trust and did nothing with it. Because there's nothing that we understand that Clark actually went to the lab or had any, he didn't save Lex as far as anyone knows. So from their point of view, Clark came to Lana, implored for her to tell him where the lab was, and then never went there. Like, that's her perception. That's what happened. Nothing.
But Lex doesn't even, from her perception, right? But Lex doesn't even know that he was there, right? Because he thinks Lionel just told Clark what happened. Right.
For what reason? Why? Why is Clark involved at all? From anyone's point of view other than Clark and Lionel, this is nonsense.
Yeah. Because, and to Lana, he really blew it. Like, she gave up all her info, and then he didn't do anything with it anyway. So, but Lex isn't in danger. So maybe he came out fine. So maybe she thinks that Clark saved the day somehow, the way that Clark does. I don't know. Who knows?
But I kind of feel like we need, like, for a show that will often hold your hand, I feel like that should have been some hand-holding. Because if they want us to assume that Lana assumes that Clark did save the day, but did it secretively, I did not get there. I need more track for that.
Me too.
Yeah. So they say we have the moratorium on Clark. We're not going to talk about Clark anymore. I bet that doesn't last very long.
Sure.
And then we cut over to Lois back in the loft, and she's there to give some tough love to Clark. Whatever reasons guys have for dumping hot, smart, fun girls these days. And then we get a little bit of a weird metaphor. I guess it tracks that you're saving for a bike, but you're actually saving for a Harley. Are we to assume that Lois is the Harley in this?
I think
metaphor?
Lois is the Harley, yeah. And Lana's the bike, yeah.
Yeah, because there definitely have been other signs that they are starting to have feelings for each other. Now, this is still season 5. I don't think their relationship solidifies to like 9 or even 10.
Yeah.
I definitely think we're starting to get some indication that they're starting to come around on each other a little bit.
I loved her line about, I thought you'd be outside Lana's dorm with your binoculars.
Yeah.
That was great. So good.
Well, especially because the last episode is when he took his telescope down, finally, that he used to creep on her with. Yeah. So I think that fits pretty well. But Chloe shows up. Lois takes her cake to the goats, which I hope the goats didn't eat it either, actually.
Yeah, right.
She says, first we get some sappy stuff about how the tickets was not the gift. It was, he raised you to be your own man. That's a gift he gives you every day. I love it, but it's also sappy.
Yes, it was cheesy. Yeah,
it's very cheesy. But then she says, "I finally deciphered all the ramblings. There's these three symbols. They repeat 32 times. I'm not sure if the 32 was supposed to be of significance, but Clark can read these fine. It says Zod is coming.
Well, to be honest, like, I could read them. It said
it
Z-O-D,
looks like Zod.
Like,
it's a Z O. So yeah." I definitely thought it was Zod
right away.
But this ends with a to be continued, and that's very rare. for an episode in a to be continued that's not a season finale. So I thought that was very interesting that it actually leads us into the season finale as a to be continued.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I feel like we definitely nitpicked this episode because there's some nitpicky worthy stuff. But overall, did you like the episode?
I liked it, yeah. I think the thing that really bothers me the most is Lana and Lex and her, I don't know, she's just, I think the character of Lana has just become kind of like a pawn that's used just between Lex and Clark at this point. And so she just doesn't have, she just feels like she's not a real person anymore. You know what I mean?
I mean, I've definitely said, I think the writers didn't know what to do with her.
Yeah.
And I think she should have just let, at the end of season three, she should have just been gone. It was a great exit for her character. She could have just been gone forever and it would have been great. But they liked Kristen as an actress. They wanted to keep her around. So I feel like I think the writing overall suffers trying to keep her involved. And this is what they chose to do. And I think it doesn't work a lot of the time. But I mean, I guess if they have to keep her around, because they decided they did, making her a love interest with Lex is interesting. Like, again, execution matters, but I think from a high level, hey, now Lana and Lex are going to be together, but you know, Lana still doesn't want to violate Clark's trust with what she does or doesn't know. Clark is now to be worried. Like, I can see where the drama, I can see in the writer's room, they're like, oh, this will be great. And then it wasn't.
Yeah. It just, it hurts the character of Lana. It just makes her, it makes her almost unlikable at this point. But, you know, I love Lex and Lionel. I love their dynamic. I love their characters. I love how Lex is always trying to be good, but failing. And Lionel's finally doing it. I just think.
Failing. Like, he's trying to be good and failing.
Yeah. The Luthers are just so interesting to me. So. These are my favorite seasons where Jonathan Glover's like main cast and not just popping in and out, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So I liked the episode as well. I pick on it quite a lot. That's part of me because I watch them so many times. I get past the emotion of like this, I'm happy or I'm sad or I'm interested to, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. But overall, again, the acting of the show is amazing. You know, John Schneider nails it as fine, not fine. Jonathan, not Jonathan.
Yeah.
John Glover crushes it. Martha and Atul crushes it. So across the board, I thought the acting was great. I loved the scene with, again, the one we did for a cold open. I love Michael Rosenbaum in that scene. He's just perfect. I think the writing in that scene is some of the best of the episode. So overall, I actually did enjoy this episode quite a lot, but it does not hold up to scrutiny at all from the logic side of it. So that I had to give it some points away there. So one of the things I like to do every episode is look at it through the lens of that man versus Superman. I think that's what the creators were originally going for. This whole series was built upon. We're going to take a look at Clark Kent, who just wants to be the all-American boy, do the things that all kids want to do, play football, have the girl next door. But he can't because he has the heritage of a Kryptonian and the destiny to become Superman. So with that in mind, do you think this episode hits that in any way? Do you think this is more of a man or more of a Superman? Or any thoughts at all about the episode through the lens of man versus Superman?
I am not sure. I mean, we definitely have the morality play here of like, would he take someone's life if he felt like it was the right thing to do somehow? So I guess that, I don't know if that really goes to man versus Superman. But I mean, I think that's an interesting, especially as we get into later seasons and that becomes a real point, a real plot point for the series is like, can Clark survive? Can he become Superman if he is actually this Boy Scout? But I don't know that it was really, I don't know there was a lot of actual man versus Superman in this episode. What do you think?
I agree. I had a hard time with this one as well, trying to pull out where each thing would be. Because sometimes it's very clear. And sometimes it's like, well, this is a man episode because we're just dealing with Clark and his emotions. This is a Superman episode because he's fighting other Kryptonians. This one's really weird because he has the one super fight with Fine, but it seems pretty clear that Fine could have killed him if he chose to. At least he says that. I could kill you right now easily, but I need you, so I'm not. So this whole plot line is about Superman and about Zod and Kryptonian. So basically all the problems that we're dealing with are Superman problems, but he solves everything with the man side. So it's not really like they're in conflict here. It's more like they're in concert, because it's the fact that Jonathan would never make him a killer is what ultimately allows him to realize that he's being manipulated. So I don't know, maybe because it's a to be continued, maybe if I look at both episodes together, which I have not watched the next one yet, maybe I would see it more clearly. But
yeah, maybe.
I don't have a good answer either. I think it's a little muddied myself.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. Well, now's your chance. You get to ask your pass the torch question that I'll ask next week's co-host.
All right. My question is, who do you think is the most interesting character on the show this season? Because the next episode is the finale, right?
Yep.
So who's the most interesting character this season, and why is it Lionel Luther?
Excellent.
That part's optional.
Trish, it was great having you back. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for being here. Now it's your chance. You get to plug stuff. If there's any projects you're a part of or just something you love you want to share, now's the time. Plug away.
Well, I am a comic artist. I do a daily diary comic, and you can subscribe to that for free at dishkitty.substack.com and get those delivered to your email box every single day. I do a different one every day, and they're $0, so check it out.
$0, that's I can afford that.
$0.
Do you have any social media handles you want to plug if people want to interact with you online anywhere?
You can find me on Twitter at dishkittystudio.
All right, excellent. And I'll put links to all of those in the show notes. Make it easy for people if they want to come find you.
Cool.
As for myself, of course, you can find most of what I do at the RPG Academy. That's still where I'm most active on Twitter. I do have a social media for the show. There's a Twitter. There's a Facebook. I occasionally post episodes on Reddit. If you see any of those anywhere and you want to help me out, you can throw a up, like, vote, comment type of thing, help keep the show going. By the time this episode comes out, my Kickstarter will have ended, so you will no longer be able to support that directly, but I will still be promoting that. So if you want to come later and maybe buy a copy, I think there'll be a way to do that. But the number one way that you can support me here at the show is just continue to listen. Send me emails occasionally when something I say is really dumb or really insightful. Choose your poison, just to let me know that you're still out there. If you have not yet rated the show on Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, if it gives you a way to upvote or comment or like, just to let people know that you enjoy it, it kind of helps it get in front of other people and more people might find it. I would really appreciate that. And then just a reminder to stay after the end credits for the scoreboard.
Farm to Fable is a Smallville Rewatch fan cast and is not officially affiliated with DC Comics, Warner Brothers Television, the CW Network, or any other owners of Smallville and or its related source materials. As such, these companies retain sole ownership of all symbols, images, names, logos, and other proprietary material related to Smallville. Our use of logos, images, names, likenesses, and sound clips are being used under the Fair Use Guidelines. Our logo was created by Michael Waldschlager II. You can find Michael on Twitter at LoserMLW. Farm to Fable is written, edited, and produced by me, Michael Ross, with additional input by weekly co-hosts as credited in each episode's show notes. And now, let's check the scoreboard.
So the total number of vehicles wrecked, we're still at 81, with no new vehicles wrecked this week. Total number of times a person's been knocked unconscious, we're now at 297, with Lex going unconscious after Professor Fine / Brainiac gives him the super virus vaccine cocktail, whatever that is. So looking at our main cast, Lex has now been knocked unconscious 31 times. Lana is at 29. Clark is at 23. Chloe is at 18. Jonathan Kett, rest in peace, is at 14. Martha is at 12. Lois Lane is at 9. And Lionel Luther is at 5. Total number of times someone goes to the hospital, we are still at 115 with no new instances this week. Lex does get checked out in his office by a doctor, but that's not quite what we're looking for, so we're not counting it. Looking at our main cast, Lana has been to the hospital 11 times. Jonathan Kent, rest in peace, 9. Chloe, 9. Lex Luthor, 9. Lionel Luthor, 5. Martha, 5. And Clark, 4. Lois, 3. And the total number of times Clark tells or shows someone other than Lana or the destined love of his life, Lois Lane, his powers and abilities, we're still at 122, because even though he displayed them to both Lionel and Dr. Fine this episode. They both already knew, so it doesn't count. We also have three asterisks and Santa Claus.